You know where I've, and many people, been in the military, probably experienced more koinonia than they ever experienced in the church is in the military. And you hear people saying, the reason I fought or did these heroic deeds, you know, I really wasn't thinking about my country. I love my country and I joined for my country and all, but I was thinking about my brothers right here in the trench with me. There's something of a bonding that takes place that is absolutely essential. I know when I went in the military, you take a whole battery of tests. And they find out what your gifts are. Right away, they determine what you're going to be good at. And then they send you, after boot camp or whatever, they send you to the training to start immediately being taught, trained, then equipped. Equipped is number three on the list. Equipped means when they put the equipment in your hands, when they give you that airplane or give you that weapon or whatever you're called to do. That's when you're equipped, and that's implied. The teaching and the training is implied there in Ephesians 4, but equipping is actually getting the weapons in your hand. And then that's not the last step. There's another step called deployment. You're sent to the fleet. Or you're sent out into to the army, and you actually start doing your job. Listen, we've got to do that in the body of Christ. Every new believer coming in should, within a very short period of time, know their gifts, their callings, their ministry, and be on a track to be getting taught, trained, equipped, and then deployed and engaged in their purpose. You know, the number one question human beings have, all human beings worldwide, you may have seen this study, number one question human beings have is, what is their purpose? And nobody should have a better answer for that than we do. And yet there are very few Christians, some who have sat in local churches faithfully for 30 years, that still do not know their purpose. That's got to change, and it's got to change quick. And that's why we're going to change our conferences and everything else we're doing. Our local church is going to change radically. This is not going to go on any longer here. It can't go on any longer. You know, if you're not doing what you're called to do, there's going to be perpetual frustration in your heart. Dissatisfaction, you're not at ease, you're not at peace, because you were created for something. It's not enough. It's great to sit under good teaching and seek to worship the Lord and know Him better and all this, but we've got to do a whole lot better than that. The army of God has got to be mobilized. I believe His body has got to become a better, more perfectly functioning body than any human body ever was. And that can only happen if every part knows their part. And that's what it talks about. This can't happen until there's the proper functioning of each individual part. Okay? Now, you can fall on the rock and be broken, or it will fall on you and crush you into powder. You can judge yourself, lest you be judged. The Lord's given us a lot of time. Time's up. Time's up. We can't mess around any longer. We can't talk about this any longer. We can't go on having conferences about it any longer. I'm under the conviction as much as anybody else. We can't do that any longer. We've got to do this now. There's radical change coming. And you're going to see God's army become a more powerful, a more harmonious and organized army than the army that you see there in Joel 2. Of locusts, who right now are better organized than the body of Christ. I believe there's a divine militancy coming. We need that. We need that. We need those who are going to go out and do something. Let's face it, most of the church is more like a spectator sport than what we were called to be. You come, you pay your money, you cheer on a few people doing it, then go home. It's not going to last any longer. It's not going to last. It can't last. I tell you, the times, the winds of change are now going to force these things upon us. We're not going to make it without becoming what we're called to be. The church is not going to exist any longer in its present form. It's not going to make it. Now, I'm speaking of generalizations. There are some that are moving strong in these directions. Just being a Christian is about to become the most serious thing we could do. Now, I got a whole lot. The kingdom of God, you know, when Jesus and John preached to repent, not because judgment was at hand, but because the kingdom was at hand. But that doesn't mean the judgment wasn't at hand either, because both of them spoke of that. Remember when the Pharisees and the Sadducees started coming out to John, he was mad. He said, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" Obviously, John also prophetically foresaw the wrath that was going to come upon Israel. That Jesus also prophesied when he said there's not even going to be one stone left upon another. Right here. Nobody could grasp that. Jesus was heavily persecuted because of that. So the kingdom brought the upheaval. Listen, the battle is unfolding and it's going to get far more intense. Do you realize how much more evil has been released in the world this year? It's gone to a new level. You know, our friend who was an Orthodox rabbi in Jerusalem had that dream, which I shared in a previous conference, about a whole new level of evil being released on the earth, coming out of the very bowels of hell. He said it was on a level we had never seen on the earth before. And then he had that, a part of his dream was the Lord was going to release how to deal with this evil through us, through Morningstar, and he was going to bring the revelation to us through a Catholic priest. Now here's a Jewish rabbi telling us a Catholic priest is bringing revelation to deal with this evil through Morningstar. So we had Father Mark come. And I don't know, were any of you here in that conference? You know, Father Mark, he's the first Catholic priest that got his doctorate through Morningstar University. But he's also one of the top exorcists in the Catholic Church. Now, there's a saying, if you don't pay your exorcist, you may get repossessed. So, take care of your exorcist. But, you know, Father Mark's one of the greatest people. I hope he's watching this program. He is one of the most wonderful people you ever meet. And but I'm not a Catholic. Believe it or not. I get accused all the time of being an emissary of the Vatican. The Vatican put out a word against me to the whole Catholic Church. The last pope, not this one, don't have anything to do with me. We got into a real tussle with the Vatican. I am not a Catholic. You know, I've learned to never say never. But I really don't think I'm ever going to be a Roman Catholic. And I don't say never anymore because that provokes God. Now, I appreciate Catholics. I appreciate the way the Catholic Church has been on the forefront of the battle against some of the ultimate evils of our times. I so appreciate that. I so appreciate so much of what they do. I believe there's one head of the church and his name is Jesus, and he is the only one I intend to ever acknowledge as the head of the church. But I appreciate, you know, our Catholic, and Father Mark agreed to come speak at our conference. Now, I'm thinking evil. Father Mark, he has had some of the most bizarre experiences. The last Exorcist movie was made about him and about some of the things he went through. Now, he doesn't encourage people to go to those movies, but he went to see it, and he said it was really pretty accurate. He's really seen bizarre stuff in dealing with evil. Anybody who does that, and by the way, all Christians should be able to cast out demons. Every single one here. That's basic Christianity. But anyway, Father Mark, he's had bizarre experiences. So we invited him. So come on and speak. I had no idea what he was going to speak about. I didn't even know if he's a good speaker. But I've learned to try to obey the Lord.